The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Good morning. Welcome in on this Wednesday, May 8th, 2024.
Let's kick it.
Chris, you gave me a look like it's not May 8th. And I was like, wait, is it not May 8th? It's May 8th, right?
It is.
Okay.
But if you looked at our rundown this morning, it was August 8th.
Yesterday, we talked about on the show, or maybe it was the day before, things that get us frustrated. I'm pretty cool.
Oh, I can tell. You're hot.
Oh, I'm not really that hot.
Oh, you're hot.
Am I hot for me? Hot. It's when things don't work that normally work that you can't, that I can't fix. I don't want to say, I'm using the proverbial you. Dave had that with his pizza oven the other day, launching it over the neighbor's fence. How is that not on video? I mean, Dave documents so many things. That would have been for you and I to have.
Definitely. We need to get like a mole in the family.
Yeah, it's like, hey, he said, all, you know, when all the friend's family that's together with them, that they're all stuck on their devices. I'm like, hey, look, one of you, do us a favor. Get some behind the scenes, the E-True Hollywood story, and let us see. Let us in. No Dave today. They've got a couple different family things going on this morning. Everybody's good. They're going to be fine. He should be back tomorrow. Talked to him this morning. He experienced what you experienced, what I experienced, Chris. So we have a shared document, let's say. Well, that's what it is. Not making that up. That is basically what we write the show rundown. This chaos that we seem to do every day does have a plan to it, believe it or not. And it helps us get us to 10 o'clock and just kind of different layouts. If we have guests, you know, where we're putting things and so on and so forth. And so last night I go on like normal to do my part of the show, and it looked different, was set up different, and there was like an extra step to do something else. I went, well, I'll do that. But I don't know what initiated the first kind of bug in the system, let's say, and then Dave tried to get on this morning, and you tried to get on this morning, and everything was weird. And then you just, what, did a different version of it or what?
No, I think I did the same thing that you did. I just copied it, but then I just shared it with you guys.
Gotcha. So we got there. We ultimately got there, and we hope you're here with us as well today. Dave is the first one in the chat. So the rest of you, hello, good morning, happy Wednesday. We've got plenty of things to discuss.
I'm not walking over there before I get my coffee.
Before we get you to 10 o'clock, as you know, as we'll end the show, we will have celebrity birthdays, a much better version today. Though you did get your wrestler in.
I wish you weren't a liar.
You got your wrestler in. Yet. One of your many wrestlers.
Yes.
Yesterday.
It's actually a good day for wrestlers.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. Today, pretty good list. So we will get that a little bit later in the show. Obviously, we will get into plenty of NBA action. Playoffs continued last night. We've got that coming your way. And so much more. We'll see how we did on streaking. And even good news for the Sharks. How about that? San Jose Sharks has been rough. That's been one of Northern California's best franchises in the long haul. I know it's been the last couple of years have been rough, but they will have the top pick. And the many things that we will go over today, though, throughout now and till 10 o'clock, always we can hear from you guys on the text line at 916-339-1140. If you ever want to dial in, you can, 1-800-920-1140, or hit us up on our YouTube here on Sactown Sports. We appreciate all of you that take the time to watch and or listen each and every day. So I know Monday we got Dave's edition of his weekend, which was pretty eventful, certainly, in which he threw the pizza oven over the top of the neighbor's yard, which was definitely something. Chris, this last weekend, I had a chance to, with my family, with my wife, my two sister-in-laws, And then my mother-in-law and my son, we took an RV trip up to Northern California, further northern, kind of the Humboldt area, and we were able to partake in what was originally listed for us. We were going to try to do a half marathon. There's a full marathon, a half marathon, a 10K. And I will say with all candor that I was doing my best part to will the Kings to go farther so I could avoid being involved in this. Because I, you know, like anything, if you're going to partake in anything like that, you need to train. Well, the Kings, as you all know, got eliminated. I didn't have a lot of time to get prepared for that. And so we all ended up ultimately downgrading to the 10K. And Chris, I think you're still aren't you still a pretty regular at the gym?
Yes.
I mean, a couple days a week at least?
Yes.
That's good. So you're at this point when you get your workout, you're like, you're not sore the next day or anything like that. Unless it's something extreme or you feel pretty good?
I usually feel it a little bit.
But nothing, you know, when we're in our 20s, like, man, I could whatever, do anything all day long, never be sore. So, I mean, I just did a 10K. People were plenty faster. I did some running, some walking, I just got through it. Let's put it that way. Still sore today. Still feeling it. This getting old business is for the birds. Let's go to our first caller of the day. I believe it's a longtime caller.
Dave in Antelope, I believe.
Dave in Antelope is what it's listed here. Hello. Good morning, Dave.
You know, it's kind of weird, and no joke, that when I call in and you bring me on, it does take me back to when I was like 17 years old. And you and Buzz would bring me on. The only thing I could do to screw up the show more is to call in right when you're like getting into a story. So I was happy to listen. You're still running those? Jeez.
Well, no. I mean, to say running those is there's people that are running those. I was there. I showed up. I ran, walked, run a little bit. Nah, there's a squirrel. I lose my attention. Running sucks, you know, that kind of thing.
Did you do your best and did you have fun?
The first part, well, you know what? I could have done better. I really could have done better. You and I are the king of physical activities, so you were throwing over pizza ovens. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll get through this.
Well, I have an update on that in a second, but let me just say last night we have the little tonal machine at home in the garage that has become a clothes hanger, and my son was on it last night, so I actually got a workout in with him. And by workout last night, I mean I sat on the chair next to him and, like, graded his form, but it was close. It was closer. I'm getting there.
Yeah, and you keep saying, like, you just feel – like you said, you feel that you've got, like, a workout breakthrough coming.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what that means to you, but you would know and when, and I don't know. I don't know if there's a date, like a reunion tour assigned or what.
I have a workout baby that I'm pregnant with that I know I'm going to have fairly soon. Although I did look on my Tonal app yesterday and my last workout on it was September of 2022.
Uh-huh.
So I may want to update that. I wanted to call, and we're limited on time. Number one, thank you. And as you said, I'm fine. We just said it's a family thing where everyone's good. Mel's under the weather. Kids have doctor's appointments. Schedule screwed up. It's always great to lay that on you a half hour before the show starts. And then, as you mentioned, the doc issue.
But I wish Jason, you weren't a liar.
At least. No, I feel like that's all. Okay, 45 minutes before the show. I did have some completely unrelated show news, though, that I can break for you. We're not done with this yet, but I think because he's a friend over at remember our good friends over at Amy Ace Hardware?
Yes, of course.
So they're going to be, I think they're coming back for the summer, and I am excited to announce, I found this out yesterday, that one of the products, brand new products that I believe I will be trying out and doing some commercials for, is their brand new pizza oven for outdoor. that I was,
no.
that I was informed about yesterday. And they said, we want you to, they were not listening because I didn't get any inferences at all. But they were like, yeah, we got a couple of things here. And one of these things is an outdoor pizza oven. I won't say the brand name yet, but it's a very, very nice, both gas and wood powered pizza oven for outdoors. And I immediately thought, these are going to be some interesting commercial spots.
I mean, you know, that timing couldn't be better. You can't try one out and launch that one. You've got to just be better about it.
No, I have to. So I spent a good amount of time yesterday back on YouTube looking at there's classes that you can take on how to stretch pizza dough, mm-hmm. and how to do a home pizza oven, like pizza cooking and all that. But apparently you can also like sear steaks and cold smoke meats in this thing. I mean, again, but the idea that I think we just talked about this, what, Monday? And then yesterday, it's like the gods are saying, you're going to figure out this pizza oven thing, and you're going to figure it out for everybody. So I would like to, here's my idea. I'm being sort of serious about this. Would you two be open to, if this goes through at some point in the next couple months, maybe coming over to the house for dinner, and you, the three of us, have an evening of pizza making and eating?
Short answer is yes. Longer answer I was thinking before you said that was, look, a couple weeks ago, I brought in the microwave oven from my house to this room. Like, let's bring that bad boy in here.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I thought of it. Here's the two things. Number one, it's wood-fired and or gas-fired, so I'd have to bring in a propane tank.
So, again, let's bring that bad boy in here.
That's a good die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Well, let's try the pizza first.
The other problem is that apparently this is an incredibly sturdy, incredibly heavy pizza oven.
So you won't be able to launch it.
No, and nor would I. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I've rethought that whole position. And let me tell you guys something. There's nothing like making your own pizza at home for friends and family. Nothing brings them together like that. I'm really looking forward to this. I love me some pizza ovens, and I'm glad the pizza guys are giving me a second chance, thanks to our good friends, perhaps, at Amy. So,
good Lord willing.
You like that pit? You like
make
the
a
pivot?
Good, I love it. You'll make a good pie, and everybody will be happy.
I'm here if you need me. Have a wonderful show.
Hey, before you go,
yes.
You're the king of accents. Let's get your Italian pizza. Like, give us a little sample of what that, you know, sometimes companies want, like a spec spot, some sort of example. So you might as well, you know, give them a taste of what they might get in your famous Carmichael Dave Italian accent.
Hey, everybody. It's the Carmichael Dave here for the pizza oven. Let me tell you something. You got the kids. You got the parents. You got the family. Everybody come over, whether it's pepperoni, whether it's a sausage, a pineapple, a ham, although that's not traditional. Come over and enjoy the pizza.
Mamma mia, that's a good slicer.
That's what I call a pizza.
Get your pizza on.
Here we pizza.
You know, they say when it comes to a pizza, a circumference is number one on the list.
Oh, no.
Wait, don't cross-pollinate?
Yeah, maybe that was all right. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Well, I'm glad we got the dock figured out.
Yeah, me too. I was just sitting there on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
The dock of the bay?
Yes.
So maybe you guys come over. That would be our first home visit on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I would be like super stressed out about it too, right? Like,
probably.
Really stressed out about
but
it.
Chris and I wouldn't be that judgmental.
No, you would. You and I both know, especially Chris, he would be making silent notes on every single thing.
I don't think it'd be very silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what do you guys want to drink? What do you want on your pizza? You know, I know, you know, with Chris, it'll be some sort of weird IPA. Jason, you
know. Oh, no, I heard Mel's got a pretty good cabinet.
That's actually a great point, too.
Yes.
That's actually a really great point. You'd have no problems there. And then we sit around we have pizza and we bond and, you know, hang out as friends like we often do and just talk about life.
Yeah, I think it's a date. I would be looking for the bat and dog poop.
Well, you would be. You would go home with a bunch of white dog hair on you because the puppy, Gracie, is going to, she's in jumping and sniffing mode right now, much like me.
Yes, that's true.
So, well, okay.
I'm going to curl up in the dog bed here for a few minutes and then we'll see you tomorrow.
Wow, that's right. Is that dog bed still there?
Apparently.
Hey, I'm excited about today's show. We got a lot coming up, including the defensive player of the year, some crazy stuff going on in baseball, obviously those NBA playoffs. It's killing me not to be there, but I'm excited to listen to you guys all the way until celebrity birthdays and crosstalk coming up near 10 a.m.
There you go. Thank you, Dave. Take care of everything you got going on today, and we will see you tomorrow.
Leading off is next. Take care, guys.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
Final seconds. Oklahoma City wins game one. Thunder up in the series.
The great Iron Eagle talking last night. Western Conference semifinals, game one from OKC. Dallas and the Thunder in a close game early on. Thunder established themselves in that second quarter, get a little separation, and kind of cruise. Looked good last night. They've been unreal. That is 5-0 in the playoffs, 10 in a row going back to the regular season. It's been a month since they've lost. So the Thunder take that 1-0 series lead over Dallas. I remember yesterday on the show when we were guessing the point spreads, I really liked Dallas taking game one. So I would not have done well as a bettor if I did bet. Chris, you picked the spread closer than I did, and Dave was like, oh, yeah, I would bet on the, Thunder.
I don't believe in Mavericks.
You don't believe in Luka.
I don't believe in Luka. That's correct.
You got sausage arms and cankles.
I feel like you would have a take or a feeling on Cuban, though. Yay or nay?
I don't know. No, I'd want him as an owner.
I would, too, I think. I mean, for the most part.
I think he is more hands-on than I would like him to be. But he's passionate about the team.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I feel like his decision-making isn't, I'm making this decision because I'm so smart and
right.
I'm the smartest man in the room, so I have to fix everything. I feel like he's the guy, like, I want to make the right decision for this team because I want them to do well because it is mine.
Yeah, it's a weird, you know, I know we've kind of described before what we think as ideal owners. Look, I think it's great if you're present, so we know that you're around and seemingly care. Certainly you're not afraid to spend. I think that's important, though it's not the end-all be-all. I think sometimes owners and or just fans in general think if you're spending money, like we just know that's not, it's not a, hey, you spend more money, you win. You don't want it to ever hurt you where you're not spending money for a reason. Like if you feel like you've got a chance to compete, I think you don't cut corners. Let's put it that way.
That's one of the weird thing is, I think, with like when your team isn't doing well, which I found out, which is really weird, is people will brag about how much money the team is making. It's just like, that, who cares? My money.
That doesn't land. Like, again, I've always said this. I feel like money and sports is the biggest disconnect with fans, right? Because there's I don't even know what percent of people would even be making the same amount of money. It's less than one, right? And most people aren't even making anywhere near the amount of money. But then when people just tie everything to money with sports in cause and effect, like, oh, Chris, you're making $80 million over 4 years. I would never miss that free throw. That guy's a butt. Like, that's irrelevant. Like, you didn't it just – but also when people like, I'm sitting out because I'm only making this, like, that's a hard one for – I want to say fans to take.
One of the weird ones, this is in soccer, I saw on Twitter people were going insane because the Fulham soccer team, they're doing like okay, but at their training, they're filmed like flying kites. And people were losing. It's just like, oh, you're getting to the end of the season. You're supposed to stop this team from winning the championship, yeah. And you're flying kites? Like, guys, that's not what they're doing right. The entire practice.
And if they're having some fun, you know, team bond, whatever. Yeah, but you're right. That's like, and if they lost, then it's like, all they did was fly kites all day. It's like, not really.
But if they win, oh, they've got the secret.
Yeah. So it's such a weird premise, but good for OKC. They smashed Dallas in game one. They take the early series lead. They've been hot. Dallas, we'll see what they regroup for game two. And when they get going in 2 days. All right, let's get to cut number two.
Cut number two.
And the Boston Celtics making their statement with a dominant game one win here in Boston.
Yeah, Boston, that's not a surprise either. The Cavs, we'll see if they can make that a series. Again, one game doesn't decide everything, but when you're the favorite, the heavy favorite, and you do everything that looks like falls in line with what everybody's eyes have shown them all year, you look at that and you go, Boston's the best team. Cleveland probably doesn't have enough. You watch game one and you go, Boston's the better team. Cleveland doesn't have enough. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to happen for four straight games, but it might. I mean, I would be very, very surprised if Boston lost this series. Very surprised. I think Cleveland can make it maybe more interesting than game one. We had the Heat win game two in the opening round of that series with Boston. But if you go back to that, why did they win game two? They really made basically every three. And so, yeah, you might have to have a couple of games like that to make it interesting. Without Porzingis, though, Boston looked great. It was Derek White. It was Jaylen Brown. It wasn't even really a heavy dose of Jason Tatum. And again, Dave and I talked about this really the last couple of days with all these new teams or different teams coming in. In the end, if it's Boston winning it, I wouldn't say it would be disappointing. That's not fair because obviously if you're a Boston fan, I mean, maybe it's just been more predictable. In a postseason that has felt a little bit unpredictable, if it's Boston that wins the title, it's like, yeah.
It wouldn't be as exciting.
Yeah, we just kind of got there. Like, I feel like I would like to see Boston at least under some stress. And when it was 1-1 with Miami, you're like, okay, well, maybe.
I thought you were going to say 1-1 with Cleveland last night.
Oh, yeah. If it was 1-1 with Miami going to Miami, you're like, okay, maybe. And then it was 3-1. You're like, yeah, it's over. And then they ultimately won. But like,
yeah, Miami needed their greatest playoff game ever.
And barely won. So, not barely won, but they won. So, we'll see. Boston looks great. They looked great last night. And they should be cruising right along. Let's get to cut number three.
Cut number three.
The Kia Defensive Player of the Year from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert.
And now we have a third four-time winner of this award as Rudy Gobert anchoring the number one defense in the NBA. 14 points, 13 rebounds a game. 13 rebounds, number two in the NBA. Number six in the league in blocks. And for Rudy Gobert, this makes the fourth time in the last 7 years that he is the Kia NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Congrats to Rudy Gobert. Victor Wembanyama was up there. Bam Adebayo finished third. If you look further down, way further down, you saw a vote for Domantas Sabonis. How about that? As Ernie Johnson mentioned there, the second leading rebounder was Rudy Gobert. Maybe that voting process was, hey, Sabonis led the league in rebounding. That is part of defense. He led it convincingly, and he did it again. But there you go, Rudy Gobert. We're going to talk about him, especially coming up next, and we got a couple of segments on Rudy Gobert. Just where is his – like, where does he fall in line with his legacy? I mean, you think about great players in this league. I don't feel like Rudy Gobert comes up at all. I would say enough, but I would say at all. And I know when he was a member of the Utah Jazz, so certainly in the Western Conference, and knowing their broadcasting crew and David Locke a little bit, he has been on the show before and defending the greatness of Rudy Gobert. And it was one of those things like, yeah, he's fine. He's more than fine. He's a really good defensive player. And we're trapped in an offensive era, and really everybody is kind of more enamored with offense. But I wonder if you've got a player that's been four-time Defensive Player of the Year, and we know the importance of defense, and now we know what Minnesota has been doing specifically defensively, how many players would it take until you drafted him? Like, Chris, you and I are at the park, and it's like open fantasy league. Like, we can draft from the entire NBA roster. I don't know when I get to Gobert. I mean, I'm taking Jokic. I'm taking Embiid. Like, if I'm thinking, I need a big man, I'm taking Sabonis. I'm taking other people ahead of him because of what other people can do offensively and then give you some defense, too.
It's almost like he's the sixth man that starts.
Yeah, and he's got a superpower, which you can't diminish, which is very important. I mean, he feels like he's along the lines of the other four-time winners, Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo. Great players, players that made the Hall of Fame. And Rudy Gobert is likely going to be a Hall of Famer when you look at a guy that has some offensive limitations. But I guess there could be some players in this league that have so great offensive skills with defensive limitations. Same idea, but what a run for Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year. We will talk a little bit more about that. How much did he deserve it? The fact that Sabonis did get a third-place vote and finished 12th. We'll do that. More of a dive in on this when we come back here on Sacktown Sports.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
Back here on the show, Jason Ross, Christopher Laud. You heard Carmichael Dave earlier in the show, but he'll be out today. Should be back with us tomorrow. As we take you until 10, Styles and Watkins will stop by the final segment. A little crosstalk, see what's coming up on their show, and we hit you with celebrity birthdays to round out this Wednesday, May 8th. As we barrel on through spring, I know we had some weather reports earlier, some wind today, but sun, enjoy it. Enjoy your time out there. Allergy sufferers, if you're like me, sorry about that. For me, I feel like I'm a few weeks away from being out of it. It's usually right around Memorial Day, because that's when it starts to get really hot and kind of everything's hopefully fully bloomed and for some of my seasonal allergies. But the rest of you, I know there's a lot of you that if you've never had allergies and now you're new to Sacramento, it's like you got them. Yep, that's what happens. I said I went on that RV trip this last week and we went up to Humboldt. Trees everywhere. No issue. Just none. No problem. I don't get it. Every time I go to Southern California to spy on things down there, fine. Something in the air here, something in the pollen, whatever we've got. I always said when we got a team, like if you know, I know they're going to be the A's here. I always thought we should change a team name to the pollen. Something like that. The Sacramento pollen. Everybody seems to have
dangerous.
What's that?
It's dangerous.
Yeah, you don't know what they're going to get you, when they're going to get you. The sneak attack. Yesterday, Rudy Gobert was named Defensive Player of the Year. I want to dive into that a little bit more here. We'll do that a couple different times throughout the show. Already had a couple people here on our chat talk about kind of the deep dive. Did you see the golf picture yesterday? Vivek posted. I think it was Vivek, Mike Brown. I saw Alvin Gentry in there. Looked like it was Wes and Monty and Keegan and Malik Monk. Malik Monk. Everybody's analyzing it. He's wearing Kings gear. He's here. He's golfing with everybody. What does that mean, Chris? What does that tell you as our head conspirator from the conspiratory office? What should we read into that?
Oh, they got everything figured out on the golf course. He's staying.
There you go. It's that simple.
It was probably a bet. Like, okay, Monk, if I sink this putt, if Keegan sinks this putt,
oh, and that's money.
You have to stay.
Yeah. And put on the Kings gear. Let's take the photo. Try to make it seem cool and casual. On a day when you're hearing Orlando's very interested, other people would be interested in Malik Monk. He's like, yeah, but I'm here in Sacramento golfing with my guys. I really want him to stay for multiple reasons. I mean, I like him personally. I really like Malik Monk a lot. I think he's funny. I think he would be, look, we're getting, I'll speak for myself more than you, Chris, but we're getting to that point where like we're getting farther and farther apart from like athletes in their, like, you know, there's a time when I first started this business. I'm like, hey, I'm basically the same age as C-Web. And it's like, yeah, we're just buddies, even though we weren't. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm whatever. We're the same, even though we're very different. But now you're going, man, some of these guys could be my son. And it's just different when, but like Malik feels like he would be someone really cool to hang with. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, honestly, if, hey, you don't golf, but it's like, hey, if you want to go, like, I'd love to be in his golf cart. Like, just hang with Malik for the day. That'd be fun.
I think what we would do. I don't know what me and Malik would do.
Yeah, where would you, if you had a day with Malik Monk, what are you guys going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah. But would that be one of your.
Maybe I have him go clothes shopping for me.
For like, you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Malik.
Take me shopping.
Yeah.
And then that's when the montage starts and the music and you guys are out and about and you come out of the dressing room in these zany outfits and
he's giving
like,
that,
nope. The outfit number two, nope. And then it's the third one. Yeah. And then Chris, you're like, okay, okay. Would that be your first choice of someone to hang with, you think?
On the Kings?
Yeah.
Probably.
I can't figure out if Keegan would be sneaky fun or if it would just be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like there's something there.
I kind of feel bad saying this. I kind of feel like the Kings are a little bit boring.
That's okay. Yeah.
I would say like Malik and then probably Trey.
Okay. Yeah, you know, when you start to think about it, I'm like, okay, what would you do? Like with Barnes, with Keegan? I mean, Fox is pretty low-key. Sabonis.
They're like parents now.
Yeah, and they're more fan. And that's fine, but yeah, it's Malik. It's Malik, I think.
Maybe JaVale.
JaVale might be fun. Yeah. Malik's the choice.
There needs to be like a hangout guy on the Kings.
Yeah, I think it's Malik. That's why we need to keep him. So everybody, he could be Sacramento's hangout guy. Malik Monk. That's the pitch. But yeah, if you saw the picture yesterday, they were out golfing. I assume it was yesterday or over the weekend. Who knows? But they were all together. Hopefully that's a sign of good things. Well, I think the bottom line is, I mean, Malik still is going to get some great offers. I think there's still going to be a connection. He's still going to have friends here. But I hope that all works out. I think that's going to be important to next season's success for the Kings. But as far as next season and current season success for the Minnesota Timberwolves, game two was maybe their best defensive performance, and they did it without the defensive player of the year. It went to Rudy Gobert. Victor Wembanyama finished second. And this to me, I don't even know if it's a pet peeve because I think it's going too far, but I really feel like this award has really gone now to the big men. And it's so interesting that there are so many gifted guards, ball handlers, wings, or centers that kind of run the offense that I think people that can guard multiple people on the wing are being underappreciated. And I'm not saying that someone should have gotten it over Rudy Gobert or Wembanyama finishing second or Bam was third. So we're looking at big men here. But where are the guys that – why are we not seeing the love for elite perimeter defenders? Marcus Smart won it a few years ago. And you just think there's such a value to that. If you are shutting down the best point guard, the best ball handler, the best scorer on the other team on the perimeter, is that equally as important and efficient as a rim protector, a rebounder, a shot blocker? Like, we have a lot of people talking about the Kings' lack of rim protection, which I agree. They don't have a ton of that. And I don't want to say it's overrated. That's not my point. But if you had – you want one or the other, either elite person on the perimeter to stop people from getting to the paint or someone that's the ultimate goalie that's protecting everything in there. And I feel like a lot of times the metrics defensively now are – and what you heard Ernie Johnson read earlier with Gobert is shots that were blocked or changed, rebounds, all a part of defense, but so are deflections, staying in front of your man, holding other people in the perimeter to steals to less than their normal point total. So I think we get into, if you start to look at as we're in award season, rookie of the year, it's basically best stats. I don't think wins, losses matter much. MVP seems to be wins, losses combined with, you know, best player on that team with the greatest season. Not, never always the best player, but the kind of the one of the greatest seasons, or a team couldn't win without you. You know, just trying to figure out where these awards are and the meaning behind them. For Gobert, pretty impressive that he has done this, and it makes you wonder as it goes forward, if this stays kind of this big man-centric award, how many will Victor Wembanyama win? If in his rookie year he already finished second, and I think that's the thing he does best, is defense. His offense is good. It's okay. It's going to get better. His defense is already elite, and he changes shots. He can guard multiple people. He can impact the game so much defensively. And we could be looking
it's
at a guy.
Crazy how much he kills like a fast break. Like it'll right. be like a 3-on-1 on him.
Yeah.
And everyone's afraid to go at him.
The one that gets me, that when you see him in person where he changes, you know, there's so many, as the Kings called it this year, the spray three. So they throw it out and everybody kind of has it in their mind how much space they have, even if someone's sprinting out on a closeout. His stretch and reach, and like it almost changes. I remember he got, I think, Davion Mitchell on one where it was thrown to the corner. Davion has nothing but space, goes to shoot, and Wembanyama still gets out there because of that reach and extension and blocked it. And you're like, man, that's different than anyone else in this league. So we'll see how that ultimately goes. We mentioned earlier that Sabonis did get a third place vote, finished in 12th. All right, when we come back, more to get to. We got back to the NBA playoffs in a moment. But next, safe or out? I know Dave isn't here for this, but we got one of the great jinxes, kind of a weird one to begin with, and safe or out, and more straight ahead here on Sacktown Sports.
Safe or out? It's time to go around baseball. Three pitches, three swings. It's safe or out on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
All right, it is that time. Each and every day at this time, we go around baseball. Check out some things that we describe as safe or out, as asked from Chris Verlot. Chris, number one.
Greg Amsinger called for a no-hitter watch before the Dodgers' Yoshinobu Yamamoto threw a single pitch. The Marlins' Jazz Chisholm proceeded to hit the first pitch out of the park. Safe or out? The announcer jinx is a real thing.
Let's hear how it played out yesterday.
But we are already a no-hitter alert. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, before he throws a single pitch tonight against the Marlins, we have a no-hitter alert.
Okay.
Enjoy what could be a no-hitter from Yamamoto.
You know Jazz when your first pitch.
Right here on MLB Network for Herald. See why I'm Greg. We have a no-hitter alert. Enjoy this game live on MLB Network.
Boy, you're crazy.
It's in the major leagues to establish himself as that guy. Dodgers looking for a sixth straight win and a 13th out of their last 15 after they took the first game 6-3 last night. Yamamoto comes home and off we go, and the aggressive Marlins get a first pitch swing and a high fly ball and a home run for Jazz Chisholm on the first pitch.
I saw that clip last night. My only request would have been, I wish they would have bounced back to the MLB Network studio to see what that crew was doing. Just laughing giddy at Greg Amsinger or not. The announcer jinx thing is real when it happens, right?
No one talks about it when it doesn't happen.
Right. And I know, I'm going to say for a fact, I have tried that in different broadcasts, whether it's for Sac State or for the Kings, Monarchs, whoever, whatever team I'm broadcasting for that I am trying to have influence. I've done this many times, Chris, where I've gone, I think the last game I did, did a game a year ago, year and a half ago for G-Man. The Kings were playing the Hawks, I remember. Let's just say, Trae Young hasn't missed a free throw. He's made 18 free throws in a row as he goes to the line. So I'm saying that just basically trying to see if he'll miss. And there's been times where he's missed that next free throw. And it's like, hey, I did it. And there's been times where then he makes it. And it's like, oh, there's 19 in a row. I guess it's real when... I mean, I know I've watched games where they'll put, you know, the kicker. He's made 83 in a row from this distance. Oh, why would you put that graphic up there? Sometimes he makes it, sometimes they miss. I'm not a big believer in it. I know plenty of people are, but that one's pretty funny. I think it was just a funny bit that he even came up with that, like, hey, we are no-hitter alert. Usually that comes up, what, about five innings in? He's like, he did it before the first pitch, and it was literally the first pitch of the game.
It's actually more impressive.
Yeah, I actually think his call was beautiful. So there you go. All right, safer out number two.
Kyle Harrison threw seven shutout innings in Colorado as the Giants won 5-0. Safer out. A shutout at Coors Field is the best of all shutouts.
I mean, if you're thinking about parks, yeah, it's one of the higher scoring parks. Tough. It's a very hitter friendly park. You got the altitude. The Rockies are not a great team, but that's irrelevant. We're talking more about the park. And there have been more heartbreaking losses for teams, Giants specifically, over the years, where it's like, oh, they got this game, and it's like 9-4 in the seventh, and then they lose 15-13. I mean, just something crazy. But, yeah, and Harrison's starting to deal a little bit here lately, which is good for them and good for him. I would say, yeah, that's safe. I mean, if you're thinking about there are other hitter-friendly parks, let's put it that way, but this is one that traditionally over the years just pitchers have struggled with, and it makes sense. So to me, for sure, that's very impressive. That is safe. All right, number three.
The Rangers took game two from the A's 15-8, including a 10-run second inning. The A's have now lost three in a row. Safer out. Uh-oh.
No, that's out. I don't think anything is uh-oh for the A's, even if it's, I mean, what we're doing now, what we're watching now is more enjoyable, but what are the expectations, which are incredibly low? So I think right now they're still in the race. There's still nothing that's done any damage. They have a doubleheader today. They could be just fine and get right back in it with two straight wins over Texas. They've had a really tough schedule. They've outperformed. They've got a team that's hit better than people thought. The back end of the bullpen, Mason Miller's unbelievable. I mean, the game is over if they can get the lead into the eighth or ninth inning. So they've got something. They're building something. Now, again, expectations, people thought this team would win in the 40s, just be one of the worst baseball teams of all time. Right now, it doesn't look like that. I guess it could still develop that way, but I don't feel like it's an uh-oh. I feel the game 2 days ago, they were leading into the eighth inning, and then Corey Seager hit the three-run home run before they got to Mason Miller. So that was about to be another win and put them above 500. Instead, they lost that game, dropped below, and now they go a couple games below. I think they've been a nice story. I was watching the Yankees game a little bit yesterday, too. They ended up talking about it was a national game on MLB Network, and they ended up talking about the A's as well, how they've been able to navigate through this mess. So I would say it's not an O at all. It's enjoyable.
Jason, there's only 110 games left in the season.
They're going to be okay?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. So you're saying uh-oh?
There's only 110 games left in the season.
That means I have time to get my streak going. We'll have more on that coming up as well. All right, first hour is complete. We got a lot more to get to here. When we come back in the next hour, still three for madness. Let's go over some of the NBA playoff series as well. We got another game going tonight when we get to what to watch. It's only one game tonight. We got a game two with the Pacers and the Knicks. We got to cover the last two-minute report, which did not look very good for the New York Knicks in this sense, but it really crushed the Pacers. We'll discuss that. But when we come back, Boston, anybody beating these guys, Boston beats Cleveland. They go up 1-0. We'll take a look at the playoffs in the night last night when we come back here on Sacktown Sports.